Ephesians chapter 1 and the first 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Redemption supposes captivity and slavery, and is a deliverance out of it. You see, God's elect by nature are in bondage to sin, Satan, and the law. Yet through the grace of Christ, they are redeemed from all iniquity, ransomed out of the hands of Him that is stronger than they, and are freed from the law, its bondage, curse, and condemnation, and from every other enemy. And this benefit, this eternal blessing, Christ is the author of. For it was He and He alone of the Blessed Trinity that was called to be the Redeemer of His people from all eternity. And He alone was sent in the fullness of time to procure redemption for them, to which He had every right, being their kinsman, and for which He was every way fit, being God as well as man, and for which He was every way fit, and by which He has obtained by His obedience, His sufferings, and His death, and in whom it resides as in its proper subject and author, who by imputation is made redemption to all the chosen ones, not for angels. Not for angels, but men. Women, boys, girls share in this redemption, and not all men, but elect men, such as are chosen in Christ, predestined to the adoption of children by Him, and who are accepted in the Beloved. And this comes to them through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was freely shed on Calvary's cross and was a sufficient ransom or redemption price. It being not only the same blood with those who are redeemed, but the blood of an innocent person, and not of a mere man, but one who is truly and properly God as well as man. And therefore, by means of the atonement which He has made, we obtain through His precious blood the forgiveness of sins, that is, of all sins, original and actual, past, present, and to come. And this comes through the blood of the everlasting covenant, which simply means the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And therefore we make no apology right at the outset for placing emphasis upon the blood, because the blood is well pleasing to the Father. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And so this is through the blood of Christ, the blood supplied and applied. The blood supplied and applied. This is the blood of Christ, His own blood, and not the blood of bulls and goats, and the same with that of the persons He redeems, but untainted with sin, because the blood of Christ is as of a lamb without blemish and without spot of original or actual sin. Otherwise, it would not have been a sufficient redemption price for His people. And so, firstly, there is the source of redemption. The source of redemption in whom we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You see, it is by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the atonement made for sin that Christ made on Calvary's cross, and therefore the redemption of sinners flows from the atonement made by Jesus Christ. It is His blood, and His blood alone, and as the Holy Ghost calls it, precious blood. Precious blood. Look with me to the third book of the Pentateuch, the third book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. A well-known verse, a verse that is part of it is often quoted, and I quoted part of it earlier, Leviticus 17 and the first 11, but we want to read all of the verse. Leviticus 17 and the first 11. Leviticus 17 and the first 11. Leviticus 17, first 11, and it says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And therefore it was appointed to make atonement with, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so here, the sinner deserved to die. The sinner deserved to die, therefore the sacrifice must die. And it is here that men fail to see the necessity of the atonement. It is here that men fail to see the necessity of the atonement. You see, the sinner deserved to die, and therefore the sacrifice must die. And so God appointed the sprinkling, or the pouring out of the blood of the sacrifice upon the altar, to signify that the sacrifice was given to God instead of the sinner's life. And as a ransom or counter price for it, for as it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and the first 22, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And therefore this verse that we find and which we have read here this morning is in clear reference to the second person of God's Trinity, the only Redeemer of God's elect, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of redemption upon the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, the animal sacrifices could never take away sin. Could never take away sin. And so we're pointers to the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's revealed and given to us in Hebrews chapter 10 in the first 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And therefore, the legal sacrifice did not of themselves take away sin, so it was impossible that they should. For such blood shed, could never answer the penalty of the law. Satisfy divine justice or secure the honor of divine holiness, but what the blood of these creatures could not do, the blood of Christ has done and does. And therefore Christ made the atonement by reason of his perfect obedience, rendering perfect obedience to the law and the shedding of his precious blood. And because the atonement has been made, there is the redemption of sinners as a result, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And therefore Christ, and Christ alone, is the source of redemption. His blood, the blood of Christ, because there's only been one man qualified to make atonement, and that one man is the God-man. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone that makes an atonement for the soul, because the blood of Christ is the blood of the incorruptible, incarnate God-man. He was impeccable, which simply means, we break it down, he was able not to sin. Not able to sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so our shorter catechism puts it well. Who is the only redeemer of God's elect? And I never tire of saying it, and either should you. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was, and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Forever. There's not only the source of redemption, and we've been brief, but there's the price of redemption. The price of redemption. You see, Christ paid the price required by giving his life, because redemption is secured at the price of the life of Christ. Such was the price, because there was a price paid, the price which sin had incurred, the price by which sin's debt is paid. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, being ransomed by a price from the bondage of the law, sin, Satan, and the world. And therefore, Christ's blood is strictly a ransom paid to God's justice by the love of God in Christ for our redemption. Ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price, purchased for God by God. Purchased for God by the blood of His Son. Oh friend, it wasn't by a sum of money. Look with me to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49 in the first six. Psalm 49 and the first six. And we read the following. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. You see, Rome's teaching to this day has been that redemption is by a sum of money. And it is totally contrary to Scripture. It's not by money. Don't they teach the doctrine of purgatory? That a man can redeem his brother. And we see clearly God's Word teaching otherwise. And so the only price of the redemption of the soul is the precious blood of Christ. His life is the ransom price. That is Christ Himself. And neither is the redemption of the soul possible upon any other ground. For Christ has purchased eternal redemption for His people. It is the deliverance, a deliverance of God's elect, a chosen generation from the slavery and the guilt of sin into a state of salvation by the means and merit of the ransom paid by Christ on our behalf. And so the deliverance has been purchased and is now the possession of all true believers, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the first 18 to 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your feigned conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is the only price of man's redemption, in whom we have redemption through His blood. And therefore, we as the people of God, we as God's own blood-bought children, we ought to stand in awe at being the recipients, at being the beneficiaries of something that cost the very life of the Son of God, of God the Son. We ought to stand in awe at being the beneficiaries, the recipients of something that cost the very life of the Son of God. There's not only the price of redemption, the source of redemption, but there's also the result of redemption. You see, God's redemption deals with the problem of our sins. You see, the atonement satisfied a holy God. And therefore, the sinlessness of Christ, as I made reference to earlier, that he was able not to sin, not able to sin. The sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation in that only a lamb without blemish and without spot is an acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And so to reject this teaching, this doctrine concerning the sinlessness of Christ, the impeccability of Christ, is to undermine the efficacy or power of his atoning blood. For you see, the Redeemer is sinless, and he is sinless because he is virgin born, and only the blood of incarnate deity can propitiate or appease the wrath of God. Remove the guilt of our sin and reconcile us to God. And therefore, because of the satisfaction of God's justice, there is deliverance from sin. There is redemption. There is freedom from sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Listen, the forgiveness of sins. Here we see that forgiveness of sin comes to us entirely through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And therefore, if we go to Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes especially upon his atoning sacrifice, we have pardon by virtue of his blood. And so by Christ's atonement, men, women, boys, girls are given release, set free because the price is paid by the subject to the object. As Matthew 20, verse 28 reveals, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. And so he died as the sacrifice. The blood of the everlasting covenant. The sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, and so by parting with his life, made atonement for sin, and so rescued ours. The blood supplied and the blood applied. You see, once the sinner has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, then he or she is freed by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the third person of God's Trinity, from the bondage of Satan. And so we obtain the forgiveness of sins through his blood, or through the atonement he has made. And we are not only to suppose that this is all the benefit or blessing that we receive from his death, or that this is all that constitutes redemption. It is perhaps the most important thing, that is the forgiveness of sins, but we also obtain the hope of heaven. the influences of the Holy Spirit, grace to guide us and to support us under any and every trial, peace and death, and many more benefits and blessings. Still, forgiveness is so prominent and important that the Apostle Paul has mentioned that as if it were all, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so this remission, this forgiveness being the explanation of redemption, includes not only deliverance from sin's penalty, but it also from its pollution and enslaving power, and the reconciliation of an offended God, and a satisfaction unto a just God. Finally, there's the basis of redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, we've been brief. But time's brief. Time's brief. According to the riches of his grace. His grace. Unmerited favor. Undeserving. For God of his rich grace found the ransom price. And gave his Son, as well as he gave himself, his life, a ransom for many. For God of his rich grace. You know, I'm reminded of Genesis 22. Abraham said to his son Isaac, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Man didn't provide himself a way of salvation. No, God provided it. For God of his rich grace found the ransom price and gave his Son, as well as he gave himself, his life, a ransom for many. And so that's the basis, that's the grounds upon which any sinner experiences redemption from sin. Grace, love, exercised towards the undeserving, the unworthy, the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God, the grace of God. And so God would have been just to pass us all by and leave us to our own self-determined sinfulness. But he hasn't, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, every converted sinner is simply a saved sinner. Is simply a saved sinner. For such are delivered from sin and wrath. It is grace that has made any of us to differ. Grace. We are brought into a state of salvation and have a right given to us by grace to eternal happiness. And the grace that saves us is the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God. For he saves. Saves them through faith in Jesus Christ. Saves men and women, boys and girls through faith in Jesus Christ. And so when a sinner is joined to Christ, joined forever, an indissoluble union that cannot be broken, that is eternal forever. And so when a sinner is joined to Christ, the saving merit and power of Christ's precious blood is applied to his or her soul. The blood supplied. The blood applied. You see, it was necessary. It was absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer, because God's holiness requires the punishment for sin, either upon the sinner in hell or on Christ in the sinner's place. And so I ask you this solemn question, a question that must be answered by all. Are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? For it is only when you seek Christ and are joined to him by faith that you can answer, I am redeemed by the blood of Christ. And therefore, Make sure that you have sought him with all your heart. And never rest until you know you've been washed from your sins. O Christian, child of God, saint, converted sinner, though the eye of faith at times be done, praise God, his eye changeth not. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Sinner, dear one outside of Jesus Christ, come and receive the atonement. Come the blood-sprinkled way. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. For he was God of very God. Christ died. Christ died for the ungodly. And God accepted the blood of Christ. And therefore he cannot reject the sinner who pleads that blood. Because the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And therefore the redeemed of God can say, this is my beloved Savior, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Savior, in whom I am well pleased, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord, conscious that we're still in his presence. Therefore, let us bow both our heads, our hearts, reverently, quietly before him. And friend, if you're concerned about the eternal well-being of your soul, I'll be going down to the door. The elders will be there. You come and speak with us. You've come into the house of God unjust, but you can leave the house of God just. Just like the publican in the temple. As he saw the bloody sacrifice, pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into the house of God unjust, and went home justified. Just as we sang earlier concerning the dying thief, Lord, remember me. Oh, we'll point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, pray that you'll take that which has been of thyself. Pray that you'll apply it to hearts savingly. Pray that we as the people of God will continually return thanks for what we have received. We pray that you'll take us to your homes in safety, that our hearts, minds, and souls will be taken up with eternal matters, and that we'd be continually looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us this day to glorify thy name, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen.